creation. Speak to us in the fullness of your word, in the presence of your Son, Jesus. Use me. Amen. I just thought, because it's snowing and whatnot, I'd do something a little bit lighter. So this morning I'm going to challenge you to think sheep. I was even going to have you go, bah, but it sounds too much like booing. But as I was looking, a key part of the message that's transpiring is the Lamb of God, and we'll come back to that. And there's something about a sheep that just sort of draws people in. How many of you know who Mary Sawyer was? I'll give you a clue. When she was a little girl, at the encouragement of her older brother. Now, none of you ever got any of your brothers or sisters in trouble, did you? Well, he said to Mary, you've got to bring your little lamb to school. Which she did, and it caused quite a commotion. And the reason it caused quite a commotion is that Mary had a little lamb. That Sunday, there was a fellow studying to be a minister, and he wrote a poem about Mary had a little lamb. And it caught fire. Eventually, Lowell Mason actually even put the words to song. It's really quite amazing how that transpired. And there's just something captivating about it. In fact, the schoolhouse, where that happened, somebody bought the schoolhouse, the Red Stone Schoolhouse. Any guesses who bought the Red Stone Schoolhouse? So anyone in this region historically that bought buildings? Henry Ford bought the little red stone schoolhouse. Now, he probably had to start with Greenfield Village and we could go down to it after worship. But he put it in a churchyard nearby so he could preserve the little red stone schoolhouse. Now, the fact that I had a little lamb, just to give you one more point of history, when they came up with a photograph and they could record voices, what was the first poem recorded? Mary had a little lamb. And then for those of you that this is so ancient history, you're thinking, oh boy, it's not that old. At least old enough to remember someone like the Beatles. Paul McCartney even had a top 10 hit entitled Mary Had a Little Lamb. And we'll come back to Mary Had a Little Lamb. Oh, what I was trying to remember is Mary Had a Little Lamb, and what about the fleece? Now, would you do that well if I did that on a bunch of Bible verses? And Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And there's just something just so endearing about that. In my second church in Ohio, we had a fellow who was working on a farm, and for whatever reason, they had a baby lamb born. Not in the seasons that they usually do. And so we brought the little lamb to the Christmas Eve service. And it was really cool. You know, they would sing, Away in a Manger. And the lamb really got into it. And we'd go, Bah! And it seemed to end every verse with, is really cool. And year after, I always look for a baby lamb to bring to Christmas Eve, because some people would all go, I should have gone Bob, but they went, and it was really quite precious. And I'll follow that up in a little bit. There's something about a lamb as we think of it, a fleece is white and smell very tender and sensitive. John the Baptist was a knockdown, dragged-down prophet in evangelist. He didn't mince words. He told King Herod what he didn't want to hear, and he got his head chopped off. He didn't do anything. And one day he's with his disciples, Jesus comes and he is in the process of baptizing him, and he says a phrase that is so powerful and so blown away of their expectations. And could you imagine if you think of some mighty, powerful figure that just you listen for because you expect powerful things to be said, and you might expect him to say, "Here is the King of Israel. Come and follow him. Here is the God of all creation." But what does he say? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away sins of the world." As Jesus was coming, the expectations were great. They were hoping for a Messiah to deliver them from Rome. They were hoping for a Messiah to restore the church or the synagogue or the temple more appropriately. They wanted someone that would bring power back. And John the Baptist, who was preparing the way for Jesus, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And as he says this, he creates a picture in which Jesus is going to meet all of those expectations. He's going to meet the expectations of that statement in fullness and in power, not only for the people then, but for us now. But to understand a little bit better, let's go back in history. In that period of time, if you heard Lamb, you might think of how it was cooked. More appropriately, it was so common and definitive a sacrifice for sin. The Passover lamb. And the Passover lamb, we know the story, it was the 10th plague that was taking the firstborn. God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people and said to sacrifice a firstborn lamb and put the blood over the doorway, and the angel of death will not pass over. You will be delivered. In the midst of this, the sin offering begins to get a full sense of it. And so they said, "Lamb of God, any faithful Jew would think of the Passover lamb, they would think of the redemption of God." I wonder why that was related to the Messiah who comes in power in their minds. And he does come in power, but not the same way. There were three offerings. The Jewish people made to enter into the presence of God. The first offering was the sin offering. Now, to understand that, it wasn't that the lamb made up for their sins. It wasn't that the lamb made up for the sins in the sin offering. It was that the lamb, in sacrificing the lamb, they prepared themselves to enter into the presence of God. It was like their doorway to redemption. It was their doorway to new beginnings. It was their doorway to relationship with God. Looking at this again, is backing off a little bit for a later. Look at this. I challenged John for the musical trivia questions today. But any of you that want to help him can. Have you ever heard of the Whitman Booth song? How about the Praise Band? Have you heard of it? Okay, John, what are the first words? And who sang it first? No. The choir, the first person to sing that, just for information, in 1927, was Rudy Vallee. Fortunately, that's too old for all of you. But after that was sung, it sort of fell by the wayside until a choir in Yale sang it, and Bing Crosby came, and he sang it. We were poor little lambs who had lost our way. John? The little black sheep who had gone astray. And then he went on to say, gentlemen songsters off on a spree, doomed from here to eternity. Lord have mercy on such as we. Some of you have this down really well. To tell you the truth, it's kind of frightening. Part of what the plague did, the role of the lamb in the sin offering, in Romans 3:20, it says, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Through the law, we become conscious of our sin. And when he said the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world, they perhaps thought of the sacrifice of their approach to God in the midst of their sin. Now, I started off by telling you at a Christmas Eve where I had this little white lamb. So, a couple churches later, I was in a downtown church in Anchorage, Alaska. It was called First Church. And it was probably the eighth church in the ecclesiastical hierarchy of the state. There were people in it that some of the characters in that church were written on in Missionaries of Alaska. So one Christmas Eve, I decided, I'm going to find a lamb. And I had an office administrator who had retired and wanted to do something simple. And he had been with the National Security Agency. So he wasn't a lightweight type of person. I said, I've got a task for you, a mission. Find me a lamb for Christmas. Christmas Eve. And I shouldn't have done that because once I made an admission, he had to accomplish this. He said, and then he called me, I think it was Christmas Eve, he said, well, the lamb's a little bigger than I thought it would be, but I'll catch the lamb. And he explained, he defined for me the definition of the lamb. So I said, okay. And I got to the church. And this lamb, I mean, it looked more like a Saint Bernard. It was a big, dirty lamb. And I know how much work this guy went to do this. So I figured, okay, here we go, lamb. And by the way, I also discovered from that lamb, have you ever seen St. Bernard pups? They are really cute until they grow up. Same thing with lambs. So we had the children here, and we could pay for the children. And I had the lamb led up by my national security guy in costume, like a shepherd. And the lamb came there, and the little kids were there. And I said, today we have a lamb with us. And they were looking. And in the midst of this, the lamb decided to clarify its turf. In the most sophisticated church in Alaska. And it went around declaring its turf. As animals do. And I was thinking in the back of my mind, it's been nice serving this church. I'll miss them even if they won't miss me. But I still have the kids up, and I have to do something with them. I'm a little at loss for words. So, we preachers are not so dumb. If we're at a loss for words, we ask a question. So, there was a little kid, I don't know what his name was, maybe it was Johnny. And I said, Johnny, what do you know about sheep? And I saw this gleam in his eyes. And I knew I had asked the wrong little boy. But he was partially merciful. He looked at me and he virtually shouted, they stink! I don't remember much of the rest of the service. And I was preaching. We had two more services after that, and we took care of the various things. And ironically, just to show you that his birthday at Christmas, I didn't get a single nasty letter. Now, when I was an executive press, we were watching over 67 churches. I went and I was asked to preach at a pastor's installation. Because some people didn't show up, they wanted me to give a charge to the congregation and a charge to the people. So the first thing I told the pastor is that he had a congregation of stinking sheep. I told the story I just told you. But they needed the grace of God, they needed a shepherd who would care for them, they needed love and forgiveness God provided. Now, the pastor really laughed pretty good when I called the people stinking sheep. But then when it came time to charge the pastor, I said to the people, you are the stinking pastor. Because he needed God's forgiveness and grace second part of the offering that was there, the first was the sin offering. The second part of it was the burnt offering. And the burnt offering was they would burn that which was there. And it was a symbol of acknowledging that God called them to follow despite the fact that they were sick and sheep. Despite the fact that they sinned, despite the fact that they had failures, despite the fact that they didn't belong there, God made them belong. And so, if you want to look for a verse that's symbolized, that Paul does it in Romans, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is your true and pure worship. And that's sort of what occurred there. They realized that the God who called them could use them. They had a purpose. And once they realized that purpose, they were so thankful that they wanted to give thanks, which leads us to the third part of the offering. And that was the offering of thanksgiving. John, did Bing Crosby do any other sheep songs? So many of you remember, if you're worried, it's time to count your blessings. If you're worried and you can't sleep, count your blessings, stay sheep. It's getting younger. Bing Crosby had a hit from that. The offering of the thanksgiving was the realizing of the blessings of God that welcomed them into the presence of God. They realized the joy of serving God. They realized the joy of saying thanksgiving, of knowing that they were acceptable and pleasing to God. There was a restoration of their relationship. They acknowledged the forgiveness of God and that they could be used of God. And they could not help but respond with their joy to the world. They could not help but rejoice. Now, I share those three stories. Because even as we're here in this past week, we did things we wish we hadn't done. Said things we shouldn't have said, or didn't say things we should have said. We could have helped some people who were hurting and we didn't. But God forgives. We perhaps have gotten depressed over the holidays for X, Y, or Z, or we're worrying about someone we love. We are restored to relationship to the God who cares. The God who restored you can use you as his restoring people. In this season, everyone wants to be married, but not everyone is. For those people who aren't marrying it, if nothing else, say Merry Christmas to them. Or joy. But show them you care. If you feel that, invite them to the church or invite them to your home or reach out to them. Because behold, the Lamb of God who takes away not only our sins, takes away the sins of the world.